Hi, I'm Shay.
And I'm David.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game-related topics. On tonight's show, we are doing a top 10. That's right. We're going to do our top 10 favorite Roll'n'Rites.
Yes, we did Roll'n'Rite Night at Amazing Stories on Friday, and we were thinking of a topic for tonight, and we thought...
Why not talk about them?
Yeah, we've discussed Roll'n'Rites like as a genre, and we've discussed the evolution of them, but we've never really talked about our top 10.
Yeah.
Other than the ones we talk about all the time, right?
Yeah, a lot of these are going to sound familiar.
Yep.
But, you know, they're ones we love.
Exactly. We will do our best to get through this as fast as we talk.
Yeah. Quick thing. Thank you to Amazing Stories, sponsor, and letting us host game nights there. Also, ToonCon, registration still open. Make sure to sign up for it. As we said 2 weeks ago, I will be running a Daggerheart game, which is a TTRPG. If you're interested, there's not a sign up online. It'll be sign up at the actual convention there. So keep that in mind if you want to come play.
Or message us. Shay can try and put you down for a spot.
Yep.
Okay.
Who's starting?
Usually it is...
I'll go.
You.
Yeah, sure.
Let's say you.
Let's say me. Okay, so my number 10 is a Roll'n'Rite we haven't actually finished. It's a campaign Roll'n'Rite. And this is My City Roll'n'Rite. Okay. I don't think we finished it yet.
No.
No.
About 9 or 10 episodes.
Partway through it. So we've played My City, which is a legacy Tetris style game where you are building a city by putting Tetris shapes out on the board. In this version, you are rolling dice, and those dice are going to decide what shape you're going to get, and then you have to put that shape on your little map that you're drawing. Same idea, you're still building a city. And this is kind of a legacy version, well, more campaign version where each one has a different story. There's a chapter. Chapter has three different maps that you do. The scores get added together at the end.
Yeah, and it's, as you said, you're rolling dice to make the shapes, and you're trying to complete the board. And I think there's trees you don't want to cover. Trees you can't cover.
Trees you can't cover. Stones I think you can cover.
Yeah, you want to cover the stones.
And there's like a river that you can go around type thing.
Yeah, and wells and stuff.
There's a bunch of different stuff to get added on each map. It is a lot of fun. But because it is that kind of legacy campaign, it's not the one I would go to first necessarily.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it was fun. Or it's been fun so far. My number 10 is Get On Board. This is, a translation from a Japanese game from Sushi and Sushi, or Sashi and Sashi, I believe is how it's pronounced. And that was Let's Make a Bus Route. And basically, you're in either New York or Paris, I think, in this one. Or is that the next one?
New York and London is what we have.
New York and London. Yeah. And you're putting sticks out on the board as you're flipping cards. And you're trying to...
Build a bus route.
Build a bus route.
I really think the original name made more sense, actually, than Get On Board.
Yes, I think so, too.
Yep.
You can't run into yourself. You can't get blocked in. And you're just trying to pass people and landmarks. It's just a lot of fun and a neat little game, and I like the board aspect to it, and yeah,
play this one on the weekend. It's cool. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
What's your number 9?
My number 9 is one of the first ones that we ever bought, which was Welcome To. And it's Welcome To the Neighborhood, or Create the... There is a long name for it, but everybody just calls it Welcome To.
Yeah.
And you have cards that you're flipping over, and you have a choice between three sets of cards. One's a number and one's a power or an ability. And you have four streets that you're trying to get the numbers from the smallest to the highest. And there's different stuff like pools, and if you get them in order, you get bonus points. And if you complete the entire row, you're going to get some bonus points.
Yeah, the different powers give you bonus points.
And there's about 6 or 7 expansion maps you can do. We've played a couple of them, but I always like the base Welcome To.
Yeah, right? It's always a good one. I'll jump in there. My number 9 is also Welcome To.
Wow.
But I'll throw in Welcome To the Moon. because that was their campaign of the Welcome To games. So there was 10 different maps that all, it was all basically, I don't want to say colonizing. Was it quite colonizing?
Not really.
No, kind of mining the moon or exploring the moon in different stages. And there's like disasters that happen and stuff like that that cause different, that give you the different maps. And this was just really fun because it doesn't, like, the issue with, I found a lot of the other expansion maps is they look identical and they don't add a lot to it. Whereas this was very different, which I think made it enjoyable as its own game separate from the standard Welcome To.
Yeah, there's three of them. There's Welcome To, Welcome To New Vegas, which is very similar to Welcome To with just a few nuances. And then Welcome To the Moon with, it's actually, I think, 8 maps.
Is it 8 maps? Okay.
And they're all dry erase, an up in production, up in cost, but a lot of neat little maps, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so yeah, a lot of fun. My number 8.
8.
Is one that we actually did play this past week. And it was born out of COVID, and that is Rolling Realms. So this is from Stonemaier Games. It was created during COVID to be a print and play that one person just had to have a set of dice. And you could play with however many people you wanted to across Zoom. So post-COVID, post lockdown, he made a printed version of it.
Yep.
And we have the base plus a bunch of promos. The fun thing about this is that every card is based off of one of his games. Plus, I think some other ones. I think there are some that are not his games.
He started to bring in a little bit of everybody's games.
I assume he gets permission to do that.
Yeah, but there's some Feast for Odin.
I think Architects is in there. So he has promos for a lot of his games, promos for other games. Ark Nova's in there.
Yeah.
And what they are is, like, on the cards, they just... The whole point of the game is you roll 2 dice, you get 2 numbers, and you have 3 cards in front of you. You have to put those 2 numbers on 2 different cards.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get as many points based on what those cards let you get over 3 rounds. Each round you're gonna roll the dice 9 times, you're gonna use those 3 cards, and then those cards go away, you get 3 more cards. So the promos just add more cards to it, which make it really easy. And I just think it's really neat how he manages to tie in the theme of the games that he's basing them off of while making them stick to the idea of you're putting a number here to get something.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a fun little game. The only issue I really have with it is some of... he doesn't have a rule book per se.
There's a rule book for the base game.
Yeah.
But for the promos, there really isn't. And the rules are explained on the cards, but they're not always explained super well.
There's some gray area for sure.
Yeah, there was one we had the role player one, and it's unclear on that card whether or not you can use a 5 or a 6 on the card. It looks like it could say that you could not use it or that they could be wild. It's kind of hard to tell. And that's the only downside. We had that even with some of the base game ones where, you know, it's a little unclear sometimes how the cards work the first time, and then after you play them, you kind of get it, but
yeah. It's solid. Every time he releases a new game, there's another thing.
Yeah, I gotta get the Wormspan promo.
He's doing a redo version or a second version of it with all entirely new cards again. I know a lot of people that have everything for this game and really love it. It's good.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
My number 8 is one of the... Heavy Rolling Rights, I guess. I forget what they call their series. Three Sisters.
Mm.
In this one, you are rolling dice, which are all custom dice with different symbols and stuff on it, and you're going to take some actions. There's a growth area. There's a market where you can buy stuff. You can harvest. All sorts of different things, and it's created around the idea of Three Sisters, where there's pumpkins, beans, and carrots, is it?
I think it's carrots. I have only played it once.
Yeah, the three of them go together, and they help each other grow. It's a neat game. It's very connected and thinky. I really like combos in my games, and this one does combos through the roof. And so, Three Sisters was my number 8.
Cool. What's your number seven?
Number seven is Trails of Tacana.
Oh, that's such a good one. Why isn't that on my list?
I don't know,
Shay. Okay, wait, I need to add it.
Trails of Tacana is one that Z Garcia was talking about, and I watched him do a video on it, and I was like, this is right up our alley. Once more, there's a bunch of combos in it, but you're flipping over two cards that give you two terrains, and you draw a line between those two terrains somewhere on your map. Your goal is to connect the cities, which are on the outside, and they change where they're located each time. And there's different idols on the board that you're trying to connect your cities to those idols. There's water, sand, mountain, grass.
Water, sand, mountain, grass. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
And then, there's a wild. Well,
and a couple of wild ones. You're going to go through once, score. And then you're going to go through a second time, score. And that's one side of the map. And then there's a bigger side. And you do it three times.
Yeah.
We've played this a ton.
Million times.
And to the point where the game was getting pretty destroyed.
Yeah.
There is a board game version of this called Towers of Tucana or Towns of Tucana. Haven't been able to get it in Canada yet.
Oh, okay.
Or else I would have that one because it's supposed to be a lot of fun. It's very similar where you're flipping tiles, though. But that's Trails of Tucana, my number seven that Shay forgot about.
Yep, now it's going to be on my list. You guys just have to guess where it is. My number seven, I can't believe I forgot that one. It's such a good game. I didn't see it. That's why. Things don't exist if I don't see them.
I don't have it anymore.
Okay, yeah, I just don't see it. So my number seven is a Kickstarter that I got, actually, with an actual board game, a full board game. Is this one you forgot too?
I forgot about this one too.
This is Dinosaur World, or Dinosaur World Roll and Write? Dinosaur Island Roll and Write.
Yeah.
Roar and Write.
Roar and Write.
Roar and Write. But they call it Dinosaur Island Roar and Write, but it really is Dinosaur World more.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's very similar to the Dinosaur World board game. In this, you're going to be building your park. But instead of doing that by putting paddocks out, like, with tiles and stuff, you're actually going to be drawing them on a little map. Other than that, like, and then you have a little map, and then you have a little tour through your map as well that you can get points from and stuff like that. It plays very similarly to Dinosaur World.
Yes.
There's still pretty much all of the things that you get in Dinosaur World, but in a smaller package. But it still works really well, and it's a lot of fun to play, and you get the nice, big, chunky dice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why they call it Dinosaur Island World.
I don't know either.
Because it came with the Kickstarter.
It came with the Kickstarter for Dinosaur World, and it's similar to that game.
More similar to that than the other one. Yeah, this is a neat little game where you're building that map out and walking through the different areas.
Yeah.
And there's something that's going around the outside.
Well, so there are exits on the outside, and you're trying to connect them so that you can get through your park and get bonuses if you can do that. So,
yeah, neat game. I don't know if it would have made my top 10, but it would have been darn close.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah. It's number six.
My number six is a smaller one. This is one we got at the same time as another one, and it's called Explorers. This has an app, too. It's a good app. I've actually played on the app a few times. So Explorers is pretty much what it sounds like. You're exploring a little...
it's a 4x4 grid.
Yeah, it's a 4x4 grid that's made up
two
of...
2x4. 2x2 grid.
2x2, sorry. Yeah, it's a 4-block grid. And you make the map by putting these 4 tiles in. It's a fun concept because you have basically a framework. And you put the 4 tiles in different orientations. And that creates your map. And everybody is the same one. And then you put tiles in for scoring, and tiles on the outside to give you, again, more scoring. So it can change every single time. And then all you're doing is using shapes or no, you have a set amount of squares you can go.
You flip a tile
that tells you which terrain you go on.
Yeah. And if you choose two different terrains,
the person who flips it chooses which one. Everybody else can use that one at a limited amount, or they can use the other one for the full amount.
Yeah.
The person who chooses it uses that one for the full amount, and that's just the amount of squares that you can explore of that terrain.
And it's 3 versus 2, and there's different stuff you can get, like an unlocking treasure chest.
Yeah, the main thing is usually there's the resources to collect, because those give you points, or getting keys that take to temples, and those give you points. There's a bunch of things on the little maps that will make you score. And it's just a really simple little game that's a lot of fun. And the app is a good time.
Yeah, and you can just play it for free. It's Phil Walker Harding.
Yeah, obviously.
So obviously Shay's going to like it.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. I didn't put it on my list. It was close. Once more, there's a lot that are close.
Yeah, so I'll be honest. So I play a lot of your games, right? Because that's what you have. I'm not a huge fan of the Fleet, the Motor City, or the Three Sisters. Yeah. So that knocks out a good couple sections of the games. Well,
they're a little harder for you, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, my number six is another crossover. And this is Welcome to the Moon.
Yeah. I thought about putting it as a separate one.
I did, because they are very different, especially these two. Welcome to and Welcome to New Vegas are very similar. But to the Moon, having those eight different maps, you play it through once, and then when you go back in, you're adding stuff each time you play. So the more times you play it, the more the game's going to change. We haven't got to that second playthrough yet, but it's something I do want to do, because I think we could knock it off in a couple of hours.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just such a great game that I think it improved on the original.
It did. Right? I think it was a better improvement than New Vegas was.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Number five.
Halfway through.
That is me. Yeah. And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR. I am David, and this is Shaylin. My number five is the one I bought at the same time as Explorers, and this is Dungeons, Dice, and Danger. Yep. I suspect we'll see this on Shay's list as well. In it, you're rolling two dice, and you're using
Oh, you're rolling dice.
Five dice. Yeah. There's four black ones, one white one.
Nope. Other way around.
Is it the other way? Yep. Four white, one black. I've played this a lot, as you can tell. And if you're the one that rolls it, you're the only one that gets to use the black dice, unless the other person uses a special ability.
The active player uses the black dice.
And you're trying to make two numbers out of four dice. So you're combining two, and you have to put those on the board, and you're trying to attack monsters D&D style.
Yep.
There's starting areas, and then you, from that point, everything has to be connected. You can always do the starting areas, because there's 2 through 12 of the starting area. So if you can't use something, you go there. If you ever can't place a dice, you're going to take a hit. If you take enough hits, you're going to die and the game's going to end for you.
Yep.
That's only happened once, and it's only happened to me.
Yep.
And that was the first time we played.
Well, Sierra almost got it because we were rushing and we weren't paying attention as much, so she took a bunch of damage.
Yeah, and the monster, there's four different maps so far. This is from Richard Garfield as well. And the maps all have different monsters and different things you're trying to do on that board, different challenges.
Yeah.
Really cool game, really neat mechanics, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Dungeons, Dice, and Danger.
My number five is probably the heaviest one on my list, and that is Hadrian's Wall. It is one of the only Roll and Write we actually have on the board game shelves on like the main area, not in with the Roll and Write section. And so Hadrian's Wall is, it's not by any of the other, it's not the Fleet people, nope. Right? No, it's different.
It's part of Garfield Games.
There you go. Right. I should know that because the art is similar.
Yeah, it's part of their Ancient Anthology series that's using, I think, Sam Phillips's art.
Yeah. So in this game, you're building Hadrian's Wall. You're going to get a bunch of workers at the beginning of the round. You're going to use those workers to activate certain things on your board, either building the wall or going and visiting a bunch of different shops. Or just building up your people. Like, there are so many things. You get two sheets that you have to fill up. Yep. There's so much to do on here. But you're doing that by using and gaining workers. You start off with some right at the beginning. You're going to flip cards, and you're going to get a scoring card and then a resource card. And then after that, as you use those, you'll either get some from income, or as you use them, you'll gain more. So you're kind of trading them back and forth to get these people plus some resources. I think it's stone is really the only resource, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't played in a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's stone is the main resource.
And yet you're doing this to eventually build up things on your tracks that will gain, you know, move you up on those scoring cards that you have, as well as other things. I think there are small things on the board that will actually give you victory points as well. It's a lot of fun. I just enjoy the tactile feel of this one because you get a handful of workers and resources, and you're spending them to do things, and then you gain more from other stuff that you've spent on, and then you put them back, and everybody's hands are reaching into the middle to grab all the resources. It's just a lot of fun. Yeah. I'm not great at it, but it is fun to kind of just fill up that board and try and figure out what you're going to do. It is very easy to just not do something on it, but yeah.
Yeah, this is spreadsheet the board game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. My number four, really simple one, That's So Clever. Super fun. I actually never play this one in person. I only play it on the app solo, and I love it. You're rolling dice, and you're using them somewhere on the tracks, and sometimes those tracks will let you put marks on other tracks just to kind of move them up. Super simple to play. There's four of these games, but the first one is the one I like the best.
Yeah, I haven't played the fourth one yet. I've played the first three, mostly the first one and two. I like the second one quite a bit as well.
I didn't get the second one very well, so no. I like the first one.
Yeah, and it's combo the board game as well.
Yeah.
A lot of Roll and Rights uses combos, and how can you not like when you do something, you get something else, which gives you something else, right?
Yeah, and the app is super well set up, so I really like it.
Yeah, and the app is solo player where everything else is four. I like the head-to-head aspect of the four player as opposed to just going for a better score in the solo player.
Fair enough.
My number four is Fleet the Dice Game.
Figured that would be on here.
This is one of the first, you know, heavier Roll and Rights that I played. Or loaded Roll and Rights. That's what they call them.
Oh.
And in this one, you're fishing. Very similar to the gardening of Three Sisters. This is the first step. They get more complicated as they go on. And this one is, you know, rolling dice, taking them. Everybody's drafting dice. And so you're limited as what you can do. And then whatever dice left over, everybody gets to do it. So that if you're that last person, you're like, what do I want to do and what do I want everybody else to be able to do? Same thing, you have your fishing area, you have your boats you can get, you have a market that you're buying from, and then there's some special ability area as well. And it's all about getting extra actions, which are going to do this and that. Lots of combos in this one as well, and that's Fleet the Dice Game.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's your number three?
My number three is one that was already mentioned as well, Hadrian's Wall.
Yeah.
For the same thing that Shay says, there's that tactile feel. There's also these invaders that you don't know where they're coming from.
Right, yep.
There's five or six different tracks you're trying to move up.
Oh, there's more than that. There's so many.
And they work with other rooms. There is a crap ton going on in this game.
Yep.
But it's solid, and they have a second or another game based on the same mechanics coming, which I'm looking forward to trying as well. This is one that I had in my collection, but it went away, and I'm looking, if I can find it for the right price, I will pick it up again.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun, and I love my heavier Roll and Rights, and this is what I would say is the heaviest Roll and Right I've played.
Yeah, for sure.
And they just do such a good job in it of, you know, everything that you have to do here to allow you to do other stuff, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you can't do this till you're this level, or you can't do this till you've done this.
Yeah.
And I like that in this game.
Absolutely.
Number three, Shay?
My number three. We've reached it, everybody. Trails of Tucana. I love this game, and I cannot believe I forgot about it. Same reasons Dave said. It's a lot of fun to just draw your little map and be like, oh, man, I got a water to water. Where on earth am I going to put this thing? Because you're flipping two cards, and those are the two tiles it has to be connected to, and you're trying to make your board and trying to get somewhere, like, to complete the main routes before other people. It's a ton of fun. You said most of the things about it. It's a pretty simple game, but I'm looking forward to playing this one some more.
Yeah, and it's one of those games that has no mitigation as to what
flips. No, no.
But it's still so much
fun,
right?
But you can sometimes get, like, freebies if you gain enough of a certain idol, right?
Every time you collect two of the same idol, you're going to get a freebie.
Yeah.
Right? And those freebies feel
they're super helpful.
You've won the lottery almost, right?
Yeah.
It's a great time. Okay, Shay, number two.
My number two, a game I have talked about the fact that I've played every single map that we own for these and possibly that's out there, and that is Cartographers.
Neat.
every map's a little bit different. In the base one, you have your map. You have some mountains on that map. I've talked about this fully just a little while ago, but you're going to basically be flipping cards with shapes and terrains on them. You draw those on their board. Those terrains and shapes are going... Well, those terrains are going to relate to scoring cards that you're going to score each of those cards twice. You're trying to get the most scoring for those while not blocking off the other scoring cards that are coming later. Yeah, listen to me talk about it, I think, last episode if you want to hear more about it. Yeah,
2 weeks ago,
yeah. Yeah, but absolutely fantastic game.
Yes. My number two is a little game called Cartographers.
Yes! This is just a game of who's going to beat the person to their game.
Yeah, exactly. And for the same reasons, this is set in that role player universe. Yep. This is where you're building the map. They just did a new game called Stonespire Architects, which we played last night, which is a lot of fun.
So mad you played it without me.
Where you're building the dungeon. All of these are very approachable, easy to play. You know, you can play them with everybody. Right, the more advanced maps add a bit more to it. They have the Heroes expansion. We own everything for this game, as far as I know. And it is a great time.
It's super fun.
Yeah. Number one.
Yeah.
Do you know what mine is?
Well, you've named two of the three, so I gotta think this is Motor City.
It is Motor City. This is the third of the loaded Roll and Rights. I haven't played the fourth one. I have it called French Quarter. Haven't got to it yet, but Motor City is the one that just blows the other two away, in my opinion. I like the other two, but this one just clicks. I'm not a car guy, but the way they do it, how you're selling autos, how you're moving up the tech track, how you're, there's a little map you're moving through, and a race car track that you're trying to get through, mm-hmm. and start a second one. There's just so much going on in this one, and it's tighter than the other two, but it makes sense, right? There's a little bit more symbology in this one that can get a little bit confusing, but after you've played it once, it's great, especially the way you're drafting the dice on that separate board. Really, really fun. That's Motor City.
Cool. My number one has already been mentioned, and that is Dungeons, Dice, and Danger. Absolutely love this game. It's funny, I did not like it the first time we played it. I think because we played it at night and it was math, because there, if you roll four different numbers, if you roll five different numbers, you have so many combinations and you're trying to figure out which one's the best. But then I played it again and again and again and again and again and again, and I love it. Just trying to figure out, you know, like, where can I start these numbers? Which numbers are hard to get? Am I blocking off any numbers if I place these here? And I like that each level gets a little bit harder and there's more things, either more things to fight, or they're harder to fight, or more things can hurt you. Or like the one we played, there was portals. Really neat.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely love this game.
Yeah, Dungeons, Dice, and Dages is great, great fun.
Absolutely. Our top 10.
That's all our top 10. We're almost done for the night. Roll and Rights for me is that filler game for the most part, right? But they're so much fun.
But I have a great time with them, and you can pull them out pretty much anywhere, and they travel really well.
Yeah. When we travel, we usually take a booklet of laminated
sheets. The laminated sheets, yeah.
Okay, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
Talk to you next week.
Have a good night.